Well, it's great to see so many people here. We know it's something that all of us sweat about at some point or another. I'm with the University of Utah. Our program has been accredited since, I believe, 1979, and I can't do the math to tell you how many cycles that's been. We just went through accreditation again, and we're successful. We had a number of, you know, met with comments, with commentary, and one partially met, but we did pretty well, and we were proud of ourselves, but it was quite a process from where we were when we started the self-study, and essentially if you could have gotten it written in that first day, to what our self-study actually was when we were done with it, and a lot of development that happened overall. So I'm going to talk about some of our movement and thought, and my own personal sort of movement and thought. We're focusing on something that I think a lot of programs get feedback from CFON, whether that's feedback during the site visit, during the technical assistance, during the review that comes back that tells you you are only partially met, but feedback nonetheless. Very little of this is my idea. Certainly, the folks from CEF have helped out a lot and really improved my understanding. Dr. Steve Walston, who's newly with our faculty, has worked a lot on this. We used to be at University of Oklahoma, and has his ideas are heavily represented in this presentation. We had a meeting and a World Cafe about different issues that affect public health programs and accreditation on Sunday. I see some of you here. And so there were a lot of ideas that came up from people there that I said, I got to put that in the presentation. Learned a lot from our own faculty, our staff, and our students, and the other members of the AAPHP. So just to give a plug, we're an organization, but we're actually a little more than a club. And we just try to help each other out and help other people out. And we welcome members. I'm the treasurer. We have very reasonable dues, $350 if you sign up before January 1st. You don't have to be an accredited program. We have a membership class for those that are trying to become accredited. And if you wait till January 1st, it goes up to a whopping $500. And I haven't quite done the math as to that's equivalent to how many years of membership in some other organizations. Students. They come. Some of them know what they want to do. A lot of them don't. Most of them know what public health is, but a lot of them, well, all of them are committed. They study. Things within our program, things outside our program. They gain important skills. Like shucking a rock there. They graduate. Well, most of them graduate. We give them a diploma that means something about their qualifications. And they go out to improve the world. And we hope, and we want to do more than hope, we want to be assured that they are prepared to go out and to work in the public health workforce, and that they don't go out with their University of Utah emblem and disappoint people or embarrass us. So how do we do that? Well, people come to us both in terms of coming to join our program as students, but also in participating in our program as preceptors and in hiring our graduates, in part because we're accredited. And what does that mean to people? This is where it's based in. I've got a number of slides with quotation marks. They all come from the accreditation criteria, public health programs from CEF amended June 2011. For purposes of CEF accreditation, excellence in education relates directly to proficiency in practice. By defining educational quality in terms of competence of the graduates of schools and programs reviewed for accreditation, CEIF criteria serve to link learning with application in practice or research settings. I think that says it really well. Now, most of you have probably at least glanced through the criteria. Maybe I can see a show of hands. How many have you gone through accreditation at least once? Okay. How many of you are currently planning to go through accreditation for your first time? Okay. So, it's almost everybody. So, you guys both must know is when you go through the long document, it's dense. And they have the little boxes, and you read what the criteria is and the sub-criteria, and you read the interpretation, and it can be dense. But I found if you really break it down, and I highlight little pieces, you know, it tells you a lot. And this is on page one. The idea that defining educational quality in terms of competence, in terms of competence for linking learning to application. And they codify this in criterion 2.6, required competencies for each degree program and area of specialization within each program identified in the instructional matrix. There shall be clearly stated competencies that guide the development of degree programs, et cetera, et cetera. So being accredited means that you have looked at yourself. Other people have looked at your program, and they've said yes. You have identified what you think are those competencies. Now, you all know that. Anyone who's gone through it, is thinking of going through it. Which is great, but it sort of begs the question of, okay, we have them. Now, the teeth come into, well, and they say that graduates who prepare in a defined professional specialty area shall be ready, when granted their degrees, to begin professional degrees with a level of competence appropriate to their education, previous experience. Okay. Now the teeth come into criterion 2.7. There shall be, I always read it as thou shalt, be procedures for assessing and documenting the extent to which each student has demonstrated achievement of the competencies defined for his or her degree program and area of concentration. Now, of course, these weren't passed down by the good Lord, but not to draw too much of an analogy, but when I started into this, I'm an environmental engineer, and engineers are very kind of, you know, cut and dried, like to see what things are going on, want to cut through the BS, and frankly, competencies at that time, the institution I was with, we had the original ASPH competencies, which number in what, at that time was probably 40, now we're up to about 100. They're very important ones, they very specific. But yet it became sort of a, oh my gosh, look at this list, okay, how can we get through this? And I've moved, because of the influence of having to go through the self-study, and because of the influence of the students and the faculty, folks from AAPHP, and I guess I would have to say most of all CEIF, to a different vision of competencies and of the requirements of assessing and documenting. From this, I want to give sort of a little bit of a big picture from which, and this is one of those sessions where happily, and we didn't really do this together all that much, but Leah will then talk about her experiences, her story, and then we'll hear from Steve he actually did a study evaluating it. Okay, so this is our manufacturing model for education, where we willingly get the students to come in the front door, go through some orientation, initial advising, push them through the courses. At some point, they also divert down through the practice placement. They're then elevated to a higher level through their culminating experiences. They graduate and become, upon finding employment, a competent public health professional. So that idea for criterion 2.7, assessing and documenting. Well, you know, I passed, therefore I am competent. And I know at the previous place I used to work, that was basically it. Hey, we've got a great program. We train people as they ought to be trained. They pass, they're competent. That's it. But yet we didn't really look at what competencies actually are, what they're for. They define, and again, straight out of Steve, what a successful learner should know to be able to do upon completion of a particular program or course of study. Define what a successful learner should know or be able to do. They describe in measurable terms knowledge, skills, and abilities a successful graduate will demonstrate at the conclusion of the program. Now, just the, gee, we got a good program, you pass, you're competent, doesn't really fit this. So we have our list of competencies. You can see there's three columns of them. You can see there's a column that says done. Completed was too long. And then, at graduation, we've got them all checked off, which looks good. But how did the student, not that they did, but how did they get from here to here? And that's really the point of 2.7, of not just, gee, we've been able to check off all the boxes, but we're able to say for the students how they get from here to here. Now, this is still a work in progress at our own institution, but we're moving along quite well. So the first approach, the student completes the requirements, therefore the student is competent to practice. But moving down to the competencies that are all covered by the curriculum in total, and we've looked at the competencies and we've looked at the curriculum, we say, yeah, we cover them. So that when the students completed the curriculum, they're competent. But I can tell you, they're both grayed out because what we found is CEEF does not consider that to be adequate, and neither do we. So it's a matter of really being able to say, what does what? What part of the learning experience, what parts of the learning experience specifically address each of the competencies that you all yourselves, brought on yourselves, say is necessary for your students to go out and practice in the workforce. Competency mapping. This is sort of a minimum requirement. You put the X's in boxes where for each course you're saying, okay, what competency does it address? And of course, what you need to make sure of is that there's no way you can get through the entire program without hitting each competency. But even better, to look at and say, competency one, well, required course one, that's primary. And then it's reinforced in required course three, P and R. Or even better, one of the people that was at the World Cafe, theirs is introduced, reinforced, and mastery. That they can identify where in the program through, gee, you've gone through course one, two, and your practical experience, now you're at mastery. So not just, gee, it addresses, or it addresses in either a reinforcing or primary way, but this is where we know you're at mastery. But how do you know that a given course, a given educational opportunity, actually really addresses competency 37B. Feel free to come up and sit down. Won't bother me. And what we have done and are still working on is really to say in every syllabus, in all course materials, in every student interaction, they were getting away talking about just, this is a course self-contained. but that everything is linked to the competencies. Link each competency to every learning objective, every assignment, every assessment, every project. That they're talked about not only in terms of, okay, well, what do you usually talk about when you're talking about an assignment or project? What's the first thing that comes up? How many points? How much does this count towards my grade? Which the underlying thing is, okay, well, if I only put in 50% effort, will I still get a B? Get away from that. We get away from the grades. But, yeah, that's important. They're going to want to know it. But to say, here is why you want to do this. Not you don't want to do half of it. You want to do the whole thing. Here is why. Because we're assuming that you're going to walk out of here and that you're going to want to be competent. That you're going to want to be able to show someone that you can do their job. And you're going to be able to do that because you are understanding the things that you have to gain in terms of skills, knowledge, and attitudes. And you're only going to be able to make that linkage if we, as the faculty, make that linkage. So then the third approach, each competency is explicitly associated with one or more components of the curriculum, and the manner in which each component addresses each competency is described, therefore, if you're going through the program, you are addressing that. And this is, at a minimum, I think, what CEF is looking for. But as we're thinking about this, you know, it goes beyond this. All of this is competency, student come, competency out. Rather that, what is the competency? Well, we're assured that our graduates are ready. We put them through the assembly line. They've passed the QA test to begin professional careers with a level of competence appropriate to their education. But our students are spending lots of time and lots of money. So our programs and the competencies that underlie them, they play a fundamental role, or they at least should be playing a fundamental role, or why have them, in shaping our students' careers and their lives. So if this is really going to be what shapes their lives, it's my sense that they ought to have a little more part of the process. That the students are the focus and the competencies are subservient to the student. So what are some ways of doing this? And this is what I call connect the dots. Connect the dots by integrating competencies into the language of the course. As I was describing before, why are we going to study this subject? This is up front. This is that you're going through the syllabus, you're given the intro that first day of class, that it starts with the competencies, not with the grade point distribution, not with what you have to do to get an A. It starts with the competencies. Talking about how is this going to help prepare you to be a practitioner? And the flip side, if you don't learn it, what are you going to be missing? And when you walk into the door, what are you not going to be able to do? Why are you being given this assignment? What skills is it going to help you to develop to become an effective practitioner? How does it line up with what we think you need to be competent? And then, though, to go beyond it, not only at the beginning, not only during class when you're assigning assignments and projects, but at the end, to be able to do an assessment of how much did your skill level improve? Are you at a level of competence, both from the instructor's assessment, but also from the student's assessment? What do you think? Here's what I think about where you are. And an explicit assessment, not just you got an A, but you progressed in each of these competencies that this course was addressing. Connecting the dots through dialogue and advising. I mean, starting, we introduce our competencies now and spend a half hour on them at the initial student orientation. Because competencies are foreign to a lot of people. They don't really get it. Well, I didn't really get it. I was faculty. Then, after they've gotten into their first semester, and, you know, they're figuring out classes, and they're going through the fundamentals, so they're kind of learning about public health, a lot of them, there, one-on-one, or maybe as a small group, almost like a focus group, we have them come and come prepared with their career goals, or at least, you know, version one of their career goals. And we use the matrix, like I showed before, to basically say, here are the competencies. How do these competencies map in? And what competencies do you want? Near the end of semester two, we go back and review that, because you think about how much a lot of students learn about what they want to do just even after the first year. Review the goals and competencies. Doing a self-assessment, that's what we want to happen. And then part of that is just starting to design their practice experience. So it's not just what I can find, it's what do I want to end up being. Self-assessment reflection after the culminating experience, this is something that we don't do yet. I think would be a good idea to build in. Graduation, competent workforce. But as well, right here, before they're even in, as they're talking to our academic advisors, the academic advisors are explaining public health and what they'll get in terms of our competencies. So they even see it before they walk in the door. Connecting the dots as part of a practice experience, the culminating experience, and even post-graduation, our input from our alumni survey about how prepared were they? Did they have the competencies they needed? What other competencies did they need? The faculty. So competencies, my view, change it from viewing it as this wall you got to scale, and then once you're over, you get to graduate, to really a bridge that each student gets to build from where they are now to where they want to be in their life. Okay. Thank you.